and welcome into another episode of Red Hawk Rewind. I'm Tim Carey.
And I'm Dave Meyer.
We want to encourage you, if you have been liking the podcast, please comment, share, subscribe, all the things. It's been fun. I don't know if for you, like, people will stop me in the press box or, like, walking around campus, like, hey, I liked so-and-so. And so it's nice to know there are people out there listening, but feel free to help spread that message any way you can. Next week, we are going to be off for Thanksgiving, and then we will come back, start things off again in December. I think it's been like a dozen episodes or something, but Dave, Thanksgiving, I'm going to be traveling with hockey. I don't know what all you have in store. Obviously, football, Ball State over the weekend to end, but what does Thanksgiving look like for you?
So, get to Thanksgiving in a second. How you're talking about people stopping you in the hallway or seeing you right and saying, hey.
Well, most of them have been related to you, but there have been a couple of those.
So, I want to check our analytics because I think my mom just walks around like the local Walmart and just tells people about it. Like 50 times a day.
I'm sure that is because I've had three or four people reach out and say, I don't actually know you, but I was walking around the local Walmart and this.
Boom. But Thanksgiving, what's your favorite, I don't know, tradition, food, wherever you want to take it?
I mean, I've probably told you this story before, but it's good for the podcast and I'm going to be missing it this year. But Thanksgiving with my family is a very organized thing to the point where there is a spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet has all the different pie flavors and all the names of the guests. So you go and you say, I would like a piece of pecan and half a piece of peanut butter. And then there's check boxes if you would like whipped cream or ice cream added. I mean, I feel like it's 2025. It wouldn't surprise me in the next couple of years if it turns to like an online form that you scan in ahead of time. But right now, it has been an old school paper spreadsheet. But the pie spreadsheet is a tradition in my house. And that the other tradition for me is growing up in Michigan, the Lions always play at what time?
Usually noon, right?
12:30 game. Yeah. We always ate dinner in the, like, for however long I've been alive, you would think for people in Michigan that kind of cared about the Lions, we would always miss the first 1.5 quarters because of when our meal was. And I petitioned to change it. I was probably like 14 at the time. And something about me not being the person who was doing any of the work or making the food, and it has continued to overlap with the football time. What about you?
Why couldn't you eat during the game?
Well, you can't have the TV on during, like, the family bonding.
Oh, no. See, our bonding for family, because I grew up all Lions fans, our bonding was yelling at the TV and screaming about how bad the Lions were.
Was there a spreadsheet, though?
No, but the spreadsheet doesn't shock me at all that you and your family have that, because you're, like, probably the most organized person I've ever met.
So what kind of food, what other things go into your Thanksgiving celebration?
Now, we go to my sister's. They fry up a turkey, which is interesting to really watch. I don't know if I've ever seen it the last couple of years, where they stick it in the big deep fryer. I've only ever seen videos, but to see it live, it's interesting. Then it's usually my nephews just drive me nuts and jump on me for 3 hours while I'm trying to watch a Lions game and usually getting mad, so... That's about it.
Sounds fun. Speaking of fun, big weekend for Miami volleyball. Fifth straight win Friday. They end up splitting Eastern Michigan, but that gets them into the MAC tournament. We've got Molly Creech here to talk about it. Let's bring her in. And welcome back to Red Hawk Rewind. We're excited to bring in our special guest, Molly Creech, freshman outside hitter from Cincinnati, Ohio, on the volleyball team. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Molly. So Red Hawk Rewind, the name of this is we try to find somebody that had a big week. And that's who we try to talk to. And this week for you, I mean, it was about as good as you could do, right? I think I had you down for, was it like 40 kills and almost 39 digs over the weekend? Is that right?
Was it really? I'm not really sure if I'm being honest.
Really? Okay. Well, that's what I had you down. I had you down for 19 kills and 17 digs on Friday. It's pretty good. And then a career high 21 kills.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it bad that I don't know that?
And
just realize that.
5 wins in a row going into Friday to set up a chance to go to the MAC tournament. So what has it been for this team to accomplish that goal on the checklist and have a chance to keep playing the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, not only have we not made the tournament in a while, but I feel like this team hasn't had a good run of wins like that in a while. I know we've, like, doubled the wins from last season or something like that. But, I mean, being a freshman coming in and being a big part of it is, like, it's so important to, like, I can speak on behalf of the whole freshman class. We all just really feel that, like, this was our goal to make it to the MAC tournament in general and obviously win the thing. But, like, I think seeing this program step it up from last year that much is already a huge improvement. And I know that in the next 3 years, our goal is to win the thing, I mean, 3 times, 4 times, counting this year. So it's just been really huge, and I love that I get to be, like, I mean, with those kills and the digs and everything. Like, I love that I get to be a big part of it.
So. You mentioned the improvement. I mean, 8 wins last year, 16 already this year. What's going through your mind in that final point or two on Friday as you had a chance to clinch a spot?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't want to, like, it's a different team this year than last year, I think. I mean, we got a lot of transfers, a lot of freshmen. So it's like, it is a different team, but there's a lot of people from last year that may, that also, like, play a huge part in it. And so I think for me, what I feel is I'm happy that I get to do that for them, and that, like, the new people get to come in and, like, help them, like, the seniors achieve that, because they haven't had a chance to get this far or, like, do this well yet. And so I'm glad that, like, we can bring them to that and end their career in this way.
All right. You didn't know about how many attacks or anything, or how many, sorry, let's go back, how many kills or digs you had. But do you have any idea how many swings you had this week in terms of attacks?
Attempts,
yeah.
Not really.
Okay, I think I had you down for 108. Okay, over a two, like, how's the arm feeling after two matches like that?
You know what? It's never really my arm. I feel like that's the problem. Usually I've been having, like, my legs get really tired from the jumping, and I'm kind of dealing with, like, shin splints a little bit.
Oh, fun.
But, I mean, knock on wood, my arm is never really, or never has been an issue. You'd think it would, I mean, with 108 swings. But
that's a lot of swings.
I know. It's usually the jumping that gets me, so.
Which is more fun, a kill or a dig?
People always ask me that, or they'll ask me, like.
So you should have a good answer prepared.
I know. I should, but. I don't know. If I had to choose between front row and back row, I don't know if I could. Because the energy of getting a kill, it's like I can't even describe it. It's the best feeling ever. And your team, like, comes together and they'll, like, push you over and they'll celebrate. But getting a good dig, like, diving and, like, laying your body out on the floor, it's just, I can't even describe it. But I honestly think my favorite part of the game would be serve-receive, which I feel like is an uncommon answer. I just, like, the perfection of, like, putting the pass right on the setter. I love it. That's my favorite part.
All right. You talked about the kills and the digs and or which one's the better, but you never come off the court, right?
Like, yeah.
In your, what are you, 18, 19 years old?
19.
Like, 19 years old, and you're playing this huge role already. What is it just, what's it like when you know you're just playing such a big role on the team?
Mm-hmm. At first, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of a lot of pressure, and it was a lot to get used to. I had played 6 rotations my senior year and my junior year. I've basically played it all my life, but coming in and being a freshman in a college sport and stepping right into that role, it was kind of a lot at first, but my teammates are insanely supportive and my coach has been really helpful through the whole process. And so now it's kind of like, I guess, like, muscle memory. I'm kind of getting back into, like, comfort, and then my confidence is going up and up. So, I mean, like I said, I love being a huge part of the team, and I love my position. I would never trade it for anything else.
Saturday was also senior day. What has this group of seniors meant to you and to this program?
I mean, they're the best seniors I could ask for. We have such great leaders. Hayden's a really great leader. I love having her as a setter. We'll go out into the court and she'll tell us, like, I don't care if you hit the back wall, just swing as hard as you can. Like, I have your back. And just knowing that you have someone there that will support you no matter, like, if you shank it or if you, like, put it on the floor, like, she's there either way. Gentry is also a really big part. She's a really good energy booster. Like, she's got really good blocks, so, like, she'll put a block down right when we need it, and then we're all, like, cheering for her because we love her so much. The whole senior class, I mean, every single one of them plays a huge role, especially as a freshman. They've been really good about, like, connecting with the younger classmen, I think. And so, I mean, I'm upset that they have to leave. I wish we had one more year together.
Freshman getting here, you've got all these seniors. How hard was it to implement yourself into that team?
Like, connect with
them?
I mean, we were kind of, like, a little bit more separated at the beginning, I think, because it's, like, most of the team is either seniors or freshmen, because there's only, like, 2 juniors and then, like, 3 sophomores. So, I mean, it was kind of hard at the beginning, but, I mean, we went to Europe together, so that obviously was a huge team bonding experience. So I think there we really connected, and I don't know. We have a lot of goofy people on our team. So I feel like the goofy seniors, the goofy freshmen, we kind of just, like, all started to connect, and now we're closer than ever.
I mean, it seems like that trip in the summer, like, this is kind of what you hope for, of it being able to kind of coalesce and bring a team mm-hmm. together. And I remember you telling me, like, a lot of the freshmen hadn't even had any practice before
right.
you kind of put that in. But looking back on that, like, how did that really kind of springboard you to where you are now as you head into the MAC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, coming as in as a freshman is never that easy, but getting to do it in like a country, it's a lot, but it's also like it jump-started us a little bit. We got kind of an advantage, I feel like. And yes, we didn't have a lot of practice before, but like I think Dan's main focus in Europe wasn't to like win every single game. It was to like grow as a team, start to connect, and prepare for the summer and the fall. So, I mean, overall, the Europe trip helped a lot because the transition was so much easier. And I think all of the freshmen felt a lot more comfortable because they were coming in with friends in the summer rather than just coming in as strangers. And all four, like us four freshmen, got really close over that trip and over the summer in general. So, I mean, it's nice to have a class that's so bonded because you don't ever really feel like you're alone. And it's a lot easier to be less homesick, if that makes sense.
Was there a moment, whether it was in Europe or middle of the season, where you really felt like this team came together at you know, with that bond?
Yeah. In Europe, we definitely came together. And we were still a little bit, you know, new team, a lot of new people. We were still a little bit, like, apart and stuff. But I think in the summer is when we really started, just in general in the summer, we really started to all click. We would go to, like, movies together, and we would like hang out, just like because you have so much time in the summer, you don't have like classes. A lot of us didn't have classes or anything. Sometimes we would like walk over to the seniors' house, or we would go to get like dinner together or something like that. So I think in the summer when we had a lot of open time is when we started to connect.
Tell me about how you got started playing the sport of volleyball, like your earliest memories on the court.
I started in third grade, and I was also playing basketball and soccer.
I was going to say, there had to be soccer in there.
Yeah, kind of for sure.
Reading a little bit about your family bio, but we'll get to that.
I don't know. I always loved volleyball. It was the sport I was most confident in. And I quit basketball like sixth grade, I think, or fifth grade. And then I was just playing soccer and volleyball. And as you know, my family likes soccer. So I kind of had to make a decision there. But when I was like on the soccer field, I was kind of like nervous and like I didn't really want to be there, but like when I was on the volleyball court, I was so confident and I was always laughing and having fun. It was kind of an obvious choice for me, I think. But
so when you decided to play volleyball, was there? I'm trying to, and I am really struggling today.
See, everybody gets to watch this on Tuesdays.
Yes,
but we're recording on Monday morning, and it's like
early.
It's early, but it's like this is the Mondayest of all the Mondays.
But what I was trying to get to is when I can watch play. You can like soar through the air. I don't know. It's almost like where you glide. Were you always able to jump like that? Even when you were third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, when you're
right.
talking?
I mean, people have always told me that I can jump high and I've got hops is what they say. But I don't know. I guess it's just kind of something I've always had. My dad says I get it. I don't get it from him. He says I get it from my uncle because we've got speed in the family from being soccer players and stuff. But I don't know. I guess it's just always been a skill of mine.
I don't know, in football, we time guys, we have verticals. Do you have a vertical jump?
Yes, I hit, the goal is to reach, to hit 10 foot, the rim. I hit that my senior year for the first time, and we did a vertical test a couple months ago, I think, and I didn't get up to 10 foot, but I'm blaming it on having lifted right before and having a weekend of being exhausted. But I know I can hit the rim. That's the highest I can touch. But I'm thinking in games and stuff, the adrenaline's super high. So I'm thinking I'm getting a little bit higher in games.
So we have to talk about the soccer thing now. Your dad was a Hall of Fame soccer player at Miami. Your mom was a Hall of Fame soccer player. I went down the rabbit trail of Hall of Fame just in your family, and it's like you need a whiteboard and beautiful mind stuff. Tell me about growing up in a family that was such a sports family and what you learned from that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's really special, I think. It's because it's not just my parents, it's my uncles and my aunts and my siblings. I love having those role models, and I mean, you grow up you have every game your dad gives you a big pep talk and a big pregame speech. He likes to send me he always sends me the same gif before every game. It's Hulk smashing stuff because he wants to say he likes to call me Hulk smash, so that make sure I pound the ball into the ground and get up and just hit it as hard as I can. But overall, I mean, we always have talked about sports and soccer and everything in college and stuff, and it's just, I mean, they've really been an inspiration to me and a motivation, just because I love my family and I want to be my dad and my mom so much, and I really just want to live up to their expectations and my own expectations as well. And just, I don't know, growing up to be you know what I'm trying to say, like kind of like the person like that they were, but like my own way, if that makes sense.
I struggle that with my dad. My dad's 75 years old. He will be listening to this, and I feel like I still am always trying to be like him with that. But when you decided that you were going to play volleyball and kick soccer to the side, and your whole family is such a soccer, like how did that conversation go?
I mean, really well. If I'm being honest, I don't remember it that well. I think I was like seventh grade when I officially chose, but they were in full support. My dad loves volleyball. I don't know how much he had seen before, or my mom, honestly, but he grew to love it really fast. It's hard not to love because it's such a fast-paced sport. He came to every single club tournament game, every single high school game. They really just, I mean, they jumped right in with me like they would with my brother who played soccer. So I couldn't ask for better parents and for them, like for better support from them.
I don't know if I told you all this as I was finding, like, not just like college Hall of Fames like Miami and Xavier, but like the La Rosa Sports Hall of Fame. Like your mom is in.
That was my mom.
Her sister is in it.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, her sister's married to somebody who was also in the hall. Like,
yeah.
it was crazy to read all that stuff.
So I want to go back when she talked about when she could hit the rim. Tim, how have you
I
ever?
I can hit the rim.
You can.
Yeah, you shoot. I have really bad form. You throw the ball up and it hits the rim. Oh, you're talking about with my hand. No,
yeah.
No, not even close.
Can you get to the net?
No.
Yeah, same.
I bet you'd surprise yourself.
I mean, if I got on your shoulders, I think we could maybe get.
There's no way I'm going to be able to stay vertical long enough with you on my shoulders for you to. That's not happening.
Did I hear somewhere that you met Vince Vaughn once?
Yes. I can't believe you know that. I was at a club tournament and we had heard that he was in our hotel like one night, like the night before I met him. And then I was like, I told my team, because I love the movie Wedding Crashers and I love him in it. And so I told my entire team, I was like, if you see him, you have to tell me the second you see him. So I get up at like, it's like 7 a.m. the next morning and I'm like walking downstairs and I'm kind of not a morning person. So I'm like grumpy. I'm like walking down the stairs, like straight face. And then my teammate texted me and she's like, Molly, you have to come in the lobby. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm freaking out. And then I see him and I like did a double take because he looks different in person. He kind of looks older because like on TV, the makeup and stuff makes him look a lot better. But I did a double take and I was like, oh my God. And the night before I had told my dad that if I saw him, I would get a picture with him. My dad didn't believe me. So it was kind of like a little bet we had going on. So I had to prove him wrong. So my friend and I go over and we got a picture with him. And I talked to him for like a second, but I was so nervous.
A kid playing the tournament or something?
Yeah, his daughter was on like a 14s or a 15s team. But he was so nice. He asked me what club I played for. I told him I loved him. I was so nervous, but I got my picture, so.
So Jay does these player spotlight videos, and you'd mentioned that on there. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what I had seen, too, of research.
Don't give her my secrets.
Oh. I'm just telling the whole world now, like all of our millions of listeners. Yeah. But last night, we went to watch a movie, and one of the first promos was like the anniversary of Wedding Crashers. So it was Vince Vaughn. I'm like, oh, wait, that's work. Now I've got to think about work.
How tall are you?
If we're rounding up,
oh, sure.
I say 5'9". I'm okay. I think I'm like 5'8 3/4.
We'll go 5'9" is fine.
5'9", 5'10".
He's massive,
he's
right?
He's tall, yeah. I was kind of surprised because I thought actors were really short. I mean, I knew he was tall from the movie, but I was like, hello.
What are you studying at Miami? What were you interested in from an academic side? What do you hope to do with that?
I came in business undeclared. I kind of don't really know what I want to do yet, but I thought if I came in with business degree, I would kind of get a feel for all the good basics and stuff. And then I just recently switched it like a couple weeks ago to business finance, which is what my brother does too. So I don't know. I kind of just like when my dad talked about like finances and stuff like that, I was interested in it. And I like math a lot too. And I'm good at math. So I kind of just went there. But I'm not really sure where it's going to take me. I guess we'll see.
What do you wish people knew about being a student athlete, like from the academic side and the balance side, and just like whenever I'm around somebody, especially like you hang out with them for a day, just like how little time there is and how you keep it all straight?
I don't know. I guess I wish, like everyone says being a student athlete is hard, like time management, whatever, but I guess I wish they knew to the degree that like we have to balance everything. Like it's not just like, I mean, we go to practice, we go to class, and then it's like you have time at the end of the day, but you're so tired by the end of the day. You, like, don't want to do your homework. It's just, I think it's more of, like, I wish they knew the mental side of it rather than the physical side. Obviously, it's physically taxing, but, like, mentally you have to push yourself to, like, get your work done because you're not just an athlete, you're also a student, and you're not just a student, you're also an athlete, so you have to kind of, like, balance both mentally a lot And, like, if you want to get good grades and stuff, you have to, like, push yourself to go to that study session, to do that homework that night. So I guess I just wish they knew, like, how much you have to push inside rather than outside, if that makes sense.
So walk us through your normal Monday. Today's Monday. Like, you go to class at this time, practice. Like, just walk us through it.
Okay. My Mondays are, like, my busiest ones.
Perfect.
So today I woke up and we went to treatment before. And then we went to lift at, like, 9. And then I got over here at, like, 9:30. I had, like, a little breakfast sandwich. I came here. And then after this, I will go. I think I'm going to meet my roommate at Starbucks. We're going to do a little study session. And then I have a class at 11:40. After that 11:40 class, I'm working with a soccer player, actually. We're doing a project together for that class. So I'll be there for a little bit. I'll have a little bit of a break. I'll come back to my dorm, eat food, hang out. Then I have a class at 4:25. That's math. And then I have a decent break there, actually. So I'll probably get food with my friends. And then we have SLAM class, which is like the athletes class that we all take at 7:30. And that goes until like 8:30. And by the time I get back, I'm going to be in bed.
It's just a normal 12, 14-hour day.
Yeah, just no normal, casual.
What's it going to take to beat Toledo in the MAC tournament? You have split with them in the year. Like, what do you know about them, and what do you have to do Friday to advance?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we know a lot about them, obviously, because we've played them twice. But I think what helped us win last time was our energy and our motivation. And, I mean, we took them to 5 sets when we beat them. But I think in that second day, what we lacked was kind of like, I don't know, I think it's like we thought since we beat them the first day, we were kind of good. We didn't really need to, like, push that hard the second day, but that's not the case. And so I think we just need to find a good, like, motivation or a good, like, push to really, like, amp up our energy and, like, work together as a team. But I know for me personally, I struggle with blocking a lot, and I think their right sides or their middles that are running slides, they got to me a little bit in that game, both games actually. So I think my goal for the game would be to be early on my block and head up just so I can at least get touches or slow down their right sides a little bit.
What's the talk in the locker room been, just as you're actually heading to the MAC tournament, the excitement just being around that?
Right. I mean, obviously everyone's insanely excited because, like, this is something we haven't done in years. But I think it's kind of like, I think it's setting into everyone that, like, we can win the thing. Like, we have a really good chance. And I think the motivation is just building and building and building, and everyone's confidence is building. And I think we're just really excited to go. We kind of just want to get there already. We want it to be Thursday. We want to start playing. But I think the reality of it is finally starting to set in, and that's kind of just getting everyone super excited.
On a completely unrelated and absolutely different topic, why do you love Nutella so much?
I don't know. It's funny because I used to never eat it because I thought it was like a peanut. I don't like peanut butter, so I thought it was like a chocolate peanut butter. So I was like, I'm not eating that. And then one day I had it. I kind of just fell in love with it. I love chocolate so much, so I think it's kind of like a little chocolate spread for me. And I eat it on rice cakes and like everything.
What could you not put it on?
I mean, I would put it on anything. I try not to put it on a lot of stuff. Because
so what is the weirdest thing that you could tell us that you put it on that we would be like, oh, that's disgusting?
I'm trying to think. I don't really branch out with it that much. I kind of just put it on rice cakes and, like, those little breadstick things. I put it on strawberries and crepes, which is, like, normal. I don't really branch out and put it on, like, random stuff.
Yeah, I like chocolate and peanut butter, but I don't know that I've ever had Nutella. I mentioned Nutella to Dave. I'm not sure he knew what it was.
I don't know what it is. Really? What is it?
It's, like, I think it's hazelnut. It's a hazelnut spread.
It comes in a jar and it's like peanut butter and...
Yeah, I get the biggest jar and keep it in my dorm room.
How long does that last?
Like a week.
Oh, boy.
But that's counting my roommate also eating it.
I don't know if you know this or not, but February 5th is World Nutella Day. There is a day for everything. I mean, like, we talk about this sometimes. Like, you put a graphic on social media because it's national such and such day. Like, there literally is a day for everything. So, Molly, one of the things we like to do on this podcast is to have a game where we're going to pit you against Dave. He does not know what this is, obviously. It's completely random.
Okay.
And I think of all the games that you've lost in, this is probably, like, the most random of all of them.
I can't wait.
So, February 5th, World Nutella Day. So I went and looked, found a list of things in February that were national days of something or other. Because there are a zillion of them. Like you literally, you can make up a day, and it's probably in there somewhere. So I have a list starting after World Nutella Day, February 6th, and it's national, and I'm just going to read these off, and then most of them are real, and a couple of them are fake. So when you hear one that you think I made up, you say fake.
Okay.
And you, the winner of that round is going to be whoever buzzes in first. If they were right, just say the word fake, so that, because it's an audio podcast.
Yeah.
And if you say fake and you are wrong because it is a real thing, I mean, there is a Nutella Day, then... So, like, for example, if I said national nominate your relative for a Hall of Fame day, that's probably fake. That would be a topic for the podcast. But if I said national wear red day, February 6th, that would be real. Okay, we got it?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, so national wear red day is real. National bubblegum day. National chopsticks day. National blanket day.
Fake.
You got it.
Let's go.
I feel like a lot of this
show's
like,
over. We're ending it now.
I feel like a lot of this is like you're reading like my tells that you're just, you know, we need to like make, yeah, anyway.
I'm not even listening. I'm just looking right at
you. I thought blanket was such a common one. I thought for sure. Yeah.
So we moved to February. No,
we're done, right? I won.
So we're going to have two versions of this podcast. The one that you share with all your family, like your mom and dad are watching, like you can stop it right there and be like, why was the podcast so short? And then for the rest of us, we're going to go on and play it more.
Okay, deal. Okay.
February 7th, National Foreign Travel Day. Ice cream for breakfast day. Take your child to the library day.
Fake.
Nope, that one's real.
Oh my gosh.
Those are all November 7th?
February 7th.
Or yeah. February 7th.
Yeah. I mean, I took a list, like, this is from the Today Show or something, but I mean, there were probably 15 on each one, and I just kind of trimmed it to ones that were interesting. National Foreign Travel Day was actually fake, but I put that one on there. February 8th.
So who's winning right now? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Okay, just checking.
Opera Day. Super Chicken Wing Day. National That Could Have Been an Email Day. National Kite Flying Day.
Fake. I think she beat me, if it's right.
I thought you were first, and it was wrong. It was actually a real day, so we're going to give her a point.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Home court score.
This is interesting.
National, that could have been an email day, was fake, but I think it was
that's
a good
felt
day.
So
that was
real.
Too specific. Yeah. I was like.
That should be a thing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, just because it wasn't on that day in February, I only fact-checked February. Like, it very well could be a day in July or December. I only had so much time to research. Read in the bathtub day. Chocolate Day. National Clean Out Your Computer Day.
Fake.
Nope, that one's real too.
Clean out your computer? What does that even mean?
I'd like delete file. I don't know. Like get more
need to do that.
Memory bandwidth. I'm not sure. I didn't write it. But it is a thing.
All right, it's 2-2. Next one wins. You ready for this?
February 10th.
Okay.
National Home Warranty Day. Extraterrestrial Culture Day. International Cribbage Day. National Flannel Day.
Fake.
Nope, that one's real too. There literally is a day for everything. That's all I got to say.
Were all those real? Alien Day or whatever you said?
Extraterrestrial Culture Day, February 10th. I thought we celebrated that in the office.
Oh.
I didn't get to like it was really fun to go through and try and make up like fake ones. It was not as easy as you would think.
Give us some of your best fake ones.
Well, I had National Princess Bride Day was on here. We were going to get to that. National Breadstick Day in honor of Polly Eyes.
Okay. Sponsor alert.
Well, there's not one in Oxford, but whenever we're within like 4 hours, you make us go. National Board Game Day. Like I saw an announcement for Board Game Night, so I just turned that into it.
That's not a real thing. Huh?
National Lightsaber Day I thought was too obvious because I know you're like thing for Star Wars. The funniest part, though, is I had made up a couple of random ones like Recharge Your Battery Day, and then I searched that list, and there was a National Battery Day in February already, so I couldn't use it. You know.
I tried to say fake for like the really basic ones because I thought they'd be hard to come up with. Like flannel, I thought was like an easy one that you would just say, but
that's crazy.
Inventing a holiday is harder work than it sounds like.
Good job, Tim.
We like to end semi-serious after all of the chaos of whatever that was. What is the best advice that you have ever received? If you think back of something that somebody told you that really stuck with you and you try and live by or follow.
I think the first thing that pops into my mind is I was in my 16s year, I think, and my coach, that was going to be my coach for my 17s year in club. I came out of the timeout. I was really frustrated because I couldn't pass the ball. Like it just wasn't clicking for me that day. And she could tell on my face that I was like visibly frustrated. And so she pulled me out of the huddle and she was talking to me. And I think I don't remember exactly what she said. This is going to sound kind of harsh. But she basically told me, like, you can't pout and you can't be upset. Because I think her whole point was that I wasn't moving my feet and I wasn't, like, really trying that hard, or it looked like I wasn't. So I think she said, you can't be upset if you're not going to put the work in to back it up. You can't get mad. You can't get frustrated if you're not going to put 100% effort in. And from then on out, I've always kind of made a vow to myself that, like, every game, every point, you have to put all out effort in, because if you're playing bad or you're having a bad game, at least you know you gave it your all. So I think that's kind of just the best advice that stuck with me. Just always put 100% effort in.
All right. Molly, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. I just have one request. If we win the MAC title, I want Nutella on the championship trophy.
When we win the MAC title, I will give it to you.
Friday is first round matchup, and we will be off next week for podcast for the holiday, and then we'll be back in another new episode of Red Hawk Rewind in December. We'll see you then.